Good evening, good evening. It is your girl, Dr. Shepherd, coming to you with another note from the principal's desk. I am excited to share space with you guys this evening. I know you all have been enjoying this conversation around trauma. We started 3 weeks ago talking about trauma and the ways in which it shows up in our children, our babies. Then we followed up with getting the men to the table, y'all. And y'all love that. My inbox blew up. How do we get the men back at the table? This is so important, right? And then when I dropped that the ladies were next, so many of you reached out excited for what we are discussing, for the fact that we are even coming to the table as educated, highly qualified Black women. And we talking, y'all. We are talking because it is time to start having some real conversations around trauma and the ways that it shows up in us as leaders, us as mom, us as women, us as daughters, as sisters, as aunties. Like, man, it is real. And so you are going to get that tonight. You hear me? Before we get into any type of discussion, you have to meet the panelists. You saw a flyer. I know, you know, it's like, oh, this is cute. But honey, let me say something. You have to know the women who are on that flyer. And you will fully understand once they introduce themselves why they had to come to the table. Why they needed to be on the panelist tonight with your girl, Dr. Shepherd, with a note from the principal's desk. So we're going to start right here to my left. My dear and lovely, lovely friend, sister, Miss Tiffany Best.
Hello, my name is Tiffany Best. I am from Goldsboro, North Carolina. I have 22 years in education. I have taught in Mexico for 2 years. I lived in Spain for a year to get my master's in Spanish and linguistics. And I am currently a college professor. I have taught every grade from preschool all the way up to now college, and it has been a wonderful experience. Not just learned so much.
Wow. 22 years. Where do you see 22 years, honey? That's why you can't tell me about this melanin, okay? All right, thank you. All right, next we have Miss Tiffany Flowers with us.
Tiffany Flowers, 21 years. Woo! In education, I am a leadership coach.
Yes.
And I am the director of leadership development. Mm-hmm. But I started as a teacher, and I co-founded my own school district in Charlotte, and did that for many, many years. And now I like to say I'm kind of retired in a services. I am working in leadership coaching and development, and I love it because I want to see more Black and brown women and men be able to do the things that I was able to do.
Come on.
Yeah.
21 years. Founder of her own school. Where, like, come on now. Come on. Yes. Welcome and thank you. Miss Jordan, Miss Alicia Jordan.
So, unlike Liz, I think after 15, I kind of stopped counting. Alicia Jordan, proud Aggie alumni. I have been in the education field 16 or 17 years, one of them. My passion is really reading, literacy, giving our children, our scholars, the gift and ability to be able to access opportunities through the proficiency of reading. Right now, I am serving as an EC reading teacher alongside a dual role as EC coordinator.
Come on. Yes, the youngest one of our bunch, okay? had to get a young voice to the table, y'all, okay?
Can I just say she was one of my founding students for the school district I opened.
Well, so yes.
I know her ever she was a mom.
See, notice that she was 10. And now look at us fellowshipping together with this deep conversation today. Okay? All right, yes, Miss Octavia Servine.
Hi, my name is Octavia Sturdivant. I am 5 years in education. Within these 5 years, I have had the opportunity to teach K through 12. And right now I'm currently in middle school as an EC teacher.
Come on. Five years. Come on, Miss Lee, Miss Carletta Lee.
Hello, my name is Carletta Lee. I am a social worker at KIPP Academy Charlotte. I have 17 plus years in education coming from a seventh grade math teacher. I am excited to be here and I love being a social worker.
Yes, love being a social worker. Let me tell you something. Y'all are going to be in for a treat tonight. I am going to periodically look up at y'all just to make sure you see it there. But honey, I'm ready to dive into this conversation with my girls. This is going to be conversational style because, again, it's important topics that need to be discussed more, especially in our Black and Brown communities. We do not talk about trauma enough. We do not talk about the impact that it has on us as leaders, as highly intelligent and educated women. You heard the years of service sitting here at this table. You see they're beautiful. Everyone is beautiful. But there's some stuff, right? There's some things and challenges that we face. Mm-hmm. And I think it's important for us to talk about those things that we face and how to handle it. And there may be some healing that takes place ourselves tonight.
Come on, healing.
It could be the start, you know, of a conversation, but I just don't want it to end, right? Yes. And so we are going to dive in. Thank you guys as always. You know, I never, ever, ever take it for granted when people decide to share space with me. You guys have been rocking with me for quite some time, and I am grateful. I am truly grateful. What started as a rant, I had no idea would turn into season 4. But here we are with new technology and all this other stuff that I'm still trying to figure it out, honey. But you know, as I always say, God does all things well.
Yes.
All right, so we're going to jump in. No particular order. You feel led to answer, you answer. You feel led to jump in and talk, that's what we're going to do. But it's going to be us just women talking. Okay? So, my first question. How has your identity as a Black woman shaped the way you lead and navigate educational spaces? How has your identity as a Black woman shaped the way you lead and navigate educational spaces?
That's good. That's a loaded one. Okay.
It is.
I think for me, even thinking to the root of the conversation, being rooted in trauma, right? I think for me, it has created a woman who finds appreciation in being seen.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of times as a child being overseen, kind of being raised in that household of children are seen and not heard.
Yes.
You know, as an adult now, I've recognized how loud my voice is because I found the power of my voice that I didn't have when I was younger. And so a lot of times, fortunately, I've been blessed enough that a lot of my leadership opportunities have been asked of me and naturally just been brought to the table and blessed to be gifted to me. And I think a lot of that has come from how outspoken I am and how boisterous I am as a Black woman in the leadership field. Yeah.
I could piggyback off Jordan. You know, when we were younger, we didn't talk about trauma.
No.
I really didn't even know what trauma was.
Yeah.
And this might be a little sad, but I found out a lot of trauma when I started my MSW program.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got in trouble. Yeah, we dealt with things. Yeah, we experienced things, but I didn't really know what to name it.
Yeah.
So as I got, you know, into the program, I started, my mindset changed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that was trauma.
Yes.
I dealt with trauma. Or when I see a baby, like, I tell parents today, like, you have to listen to your children today.
Yeah,
we didn't deal with that when we didn't even know what trauma was as when I was younger. But as I talk to parents today, it's like, listen to your baby. Be there. They're crying out for help. They're, you know, because if you don't listen to them, they're going to go to somebody else and they're going to have a different outcome. So some parents will be like, oh, they're too young. No. Kids are going through trauma at 5 years old because you remember those things as you get older. And I have experienced it myself of finding out things when I'm 30 and 40 years old because we didn't talk about trauma back in the day. So today I tell parents and everyone, listen to your babies, whether they're 5 to 20. Like if they have something to say, don't think that they're seeking attention, yeah, uh-huh, they're crying out for help. And if you don't help them, somebody else out there will help them.
Yeah. That's true. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Anybody else want to add to that one? Because that one, that is deep. And you don't realize how much your trauma shows up until, mm-hmm, you're placed in, mm-hmm, positions, especially leadership positions.
Yeah. Yes.
And you typically take on the leadership role based on what it was that you experienced, mm-hmm, growing up. Mm-hmm. And so when I first started, it was children are seen, not heard. Yep. Why are you talking to me? No, yes. No. Yep. Did you raise, yep, your hand? Right. No, you go have a seat, right? But I need to tell you. No, you don't. No, you don't, right? And as I allowed God to do the work in me.
Yeah.
Now, y'all already know me, honey. If you don't, we're going to talk about God here, honey. He does not ever not come up in a conversation, right, with me, mm-hmm, because I'm nothing without him. And I always say that. Mm-hmm. But after really allowing him to do the work in me, I began to see myself in so many young,
mm-hmm, yes,
children. I push kids because I was pushed.
Yeah.
You want out of your situation? You work hard. You show up in school. You do what you're supposed, yes, to do. It was that rah-rah, yep, in, yep, your face, yep, type, you know,
yeah,
teaching as well as coaching and leading. And, mm-hmm, people are successful, but we never tapped into the trauma. Yep.
They, exactly, can't get that
success.
Exactly.
Right? It was just get them degrees, get that, mm-hmm, money, get the life, yep, you want.
Yep.
And now you sit here with all the things and you're still not happy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You, yep, sit here with all the things, mm-hmm, and you're still trying to, there's, figure out why.
Because you didn't, yep, deal with it. You ain't unpacked it. No one showed you that it was that to show you how to deal, exactly, with these different situations.
Exactly. And so that's how. So my babies that I taught, I know many of you, as your favorite teacher, and you said you love and you enjoyed, and I helped prepare you, mm-hmm, for college and all those things. But I apologize if there was any way any trauma evoked on you from just my drive, mm-hmm, and my go-getter, mm-hmm, attitude. And I had to realize too, even in the leadership role, that it's true when you're talking about elevation, mm-hmm, how everyone can't go.
Yeah.
And it is because everyone can't carry the weight,
yes,
the way, yeah, that you can.
Yes.
But, mm-hmm, you keep, because that's all you know.
Exactly.
You keep putting the weight on people, right, and they're falling, and you're like, what's wrong with you?
Exactly. Get off.
Like, we,
you can do this.
Yeah, you can do this.
Come on.
And the person really can't. Like, they are genuinely dying, mm, on the inside, but, yeah, you're still like, no, go, because, mm, it's your anointing.
Yes.
It's your weight, your calling, mm, and everybody is anointed for something different. And so, mm, just the things that I'm learning now, just some of the damage that was done, it's like, man, like, my prayer is that I now still have enough time to undo anything I could have possibly put on my own kids.
Mm-hmm.
Because I noticed you was inside the field of, I have to perform, it has to be good, I have to get good grades, oh my, mm-hmm, God, oh my God, I gotta be mommy, oh my God, it slipped to a C, and I noticed a little finger start going, and I was just like, that's not healthy.
No.
Talk to me, because, mm-hmm, guess what? If it's a strong C, then we're gonna rock with it.
Yes.
Because I know you, yeah, tried.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So, mm-hmm, sense of ways for me.
I think that, so there's multiple thoughts going on in my, mm-hmm, head. One, Octavia, I apologize because you were my first and I was only 26 up in that school, and so I apologize. Dr. Shepherd,
mm-hmm,
I apologize to, mm-hmm, her for, mm-hmm, the trauma I caused her, mm-hmm, as someone who took over, mm-hmm, who was my successor and took over my role.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a very different person now as a leadership coach,
mm-hmm,
and the healing that I had to do for myself, mm-hmm, to get there. And so as a Black woman, there's a couple of things that happened. One, I was the only person in my organization in the whole nation that was an executive director.
Wow.
And, yeah, I was like 30-ish.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so when you think about that, you're like, how did I slip through? Am, mm-hmm, I fraud? And, mm-hmm, what did I do?
Yeah. Right.
Did I do something,
yeah,
like,
right,
what is it that I did? God,
yes,
and talent.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
and maybe, yeah, talent.
That's, mm-hmm, right.
And so it takes a long time to rest in that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the other thing is, and I and we're talking about trauma, is that for Black women, our trauma shows up as overcompensation.
Yes.
Yes.
Like, we have to,
yes,
work so,
yeah,
hard.
Yeah.
We have to take, mm-hmm, on war roles, mm-hmm, war jobs, be there, yeah, later, be there earlier,
yes,
all these things.
That's,
and,
it,
unfortunately, I, even I just remember being like, you were sick and telling you to go home.
Yeah.
But I didn't model that.
No.
Right.
I was there sick. Yeah. I was there early. Yeah. I was there all the time.
So I was always like, I can't go. I can't go. You're like, no, go. And I'm like, no, because all I ever saw her do was be there sick with all the medicine still working.
Same.
Yeah. And like, I internalized my own trauma and I created trauma for other people. And that's something that I can and I have to offer.
Mm-hmm.
But what I had to learn was, everything actually doesn't have to be hard.
No.
Right.
Like, my
right.
sister, she's a therapist. She told me that today, and I was like, oh my gosh, my schedule, I got to do this. And she's like, you know what, Tiffany? Take something off your plate, because life doesn't have to be hard.
Yes.
Like, you can make a choice mm-hmm. for it not to be. Mm-hmm. And at the point, as a leader and as a Black woman, I realized, like, leadership doesn't have to be hard.
It doesn't.
It mm-hmm. is It is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. what we place upon ourselves as Black women makes it harder than what it has to be.
Yeah.
And then we model that for other Black women, other children, other men. And yeah. so what people see is, like, there are some kids who grow up and they're like, I want to be just like that. And I'm going to work hard. There's other kids that are like, I will never. I will never.
Exactly.
And the thing is that you want to create spaces where Black people want to become leaders, because mm-hmm. they're born to be leaders.
Yes.
They can be leaders, but sometimes we make it look really unappetizing.
Yes, mm-hmm. but that's why self-care is so important.
Yeah.
And it don't have to be like a trip. It could be just sitting on your porch,
yeah.
just watching the sun, or just yeah. you know, taking a nice bath yeah. with candles, or
no.
just saying no, or just mm-hmm. having me time.
Saying
no, and it's very hard to say no. I'm very bad with that, but I'm working on me and I'm learning. Just going through different things of learning me at an older age. So it's just like I have to get in the habit of saying no and just like and meaning no. But I'm still working. I'm a work in progress.
And I think there's this part of like not disappointing people.
Yes,
like,
that's what it is.
Like, yep. if I fail, I'm disappointed. Pointing my whole neighborhood.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
It's the weight that was put on
us. No. That we allow.
Mm-hmm. There we go.
That we allow.
We did allow it.
Because if
did.
You choose not
yeah.
to,
yeah.
you can live a very different life.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And so, like, this right. idea of disappointing others
yeah.
is what keeps you from saying
exactly.
It's what mm-hmm. keeps you from taking off early mm-hmm. when you know you're yeah. sick or you're yeah. tired mm-hmm. or your kids need something.
Yeah.
It's what keeps you from taking that day mm-hmm. off. Is that, like, there is a space where you have to become okay
mm-hmm.
with telling yourself, telling other people no to tell yourself yes.
Yes.
And I think that comes with the concern, speaking to that weight mm-hmm. of, like, where is that balance when we think
yeah.
about the world of leadership
yes.
where
exactly.
sincerely and honestly, that is okay.
Mm-hmm.
And with that being said, you can still be viewed as an impactful, positive leader.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think that's where my concern is. Like, even when I'm internally battling, like, okay, I just have nothing else left to give. I
right.
just can't get this done right now. I see the deadlines. I see the due dates. I have nothing else left to give.
Right.
But then comes that concern
mm-hmm.
and that inner voice
mm-hmm.
where it's like, but you're impacting this and you're impacting that. And so that leader in you says, I can't afford to put it down.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or setting priorities first.
Yeah.
Or boundaries.
Yeah.
yeah.
It will help out a lot also. So.
But I think we have this misnomer that time equals talent. And it
mm-hmm.
doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Mm-hmm. Talent and time are two
different
things.
They
mm-hmm.
are.
And so if you are talented at what you do and you know you are, then maybe it doesn't take you a whole work day to complete everything
mm-hmm.
that
right.
you need to do.
Right. Yeah.
Maybe you can take off early because guess what? You're talented enough to get results,
uh-huh.
get what needs to be done,
uh-huh.
and maybe still have an hour left. And maybe you keep that hour at work and you decide
yeah.
to, like, you know what?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go bless a coworker
mm-hmm.
and go do something nice for them.
Exactly.
Or I'm going to grab lunch for everybody or whatever
yeah.
it is you decide to do. But, like,
yeah.
more time does not equate to better
to
results.
Yeah, that
mm-hmm.
is true.
Talent, development, and growth is what
yes.
gets results.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That's true.
That is true.
Okay, well, I got another for y'all.
this one. Now, this one a little bit more heavier, but it's not, because then it's about self-awareness. So what are some signs in yourself that let you know this is trauma speaking, not me?
Mm.
How do you know, like, ooh, this is coming from a different place?
I've always said when I become mean to a person.
Mm.
yeah.
So,
Okay to say I need a minute.
Yeah.
You know, before you do anything, because I have started reflecting on things and thinking, and so you don't have to answer right away. Yeah. Just like, I need a minute.
Yeah.
I'm coming back, but just give me a minute, and I reflect on things before I answer or go back to different conflicts or different situations.
It's so important, especially when you're around children.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Children, yes. Because again, you might say something and you might be having a moment. And you say something to them, but you don't know what they came to do.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You don't know what they're
talking about.
You don't know what their last night was
exactly.
like. Exactly. You say something else to them, and that's just a little chip off of them.
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's very important.
So check in. That's why we check in with our babies like all the time. We don't know what happened, because most kids are like, we did a survey that I'm going through right now called the Minute Meeting. Most, like 90% of our kids like school.
Yeah.
They're happy at school. They want to be at school. Yeah. It is very, because when I did it, I was like, oh my God, what are these results going to look like? I was telling Dr. Sheffer, like, what are you looking like? These kids like coming to school and they're happy and they want to be there. Yeah. So it's very important to do the check-ins, because we don't know what our babies are going through. They just don't wake up mean or bad or disrespectful or cussing or things like that. But if we check in with them, it takes a, how are you? How was your day? How was your night? You know, how was your weekend? Check in with your coworkers. If someone's seeing being down, like if they show up a different way, sometimes they come in like, and they're different. What's going on? Hey, just checking on you. What's going on? Check on checking on your leaders too. Exactly.
Talk about it.
Exactly. But a good smile, good hello, it will go far.
A long way.
No, I was saying it would go a long way. But same thing. I know when I'm speaking from trauma, when I get emotional and I respond from emotions and not logically, and I can tell that old wounds is being triggered and it's not the current version of me that's being grounded.
Yes.
That's good. I realized last year, because I had to, and I hope I don't get emotional, but I typically do when I tell this story, I had to say goodbye to my 8-year-old self. I lived with an operation of her. I'm 46, and I just let her go last year. I didn't even know that she was the one speaking for me when I showed up in spaces and I became triggered by things. But my response, tantrums, shutting myself off, me saying I need a minute, but my minute might be weeks. It might be weeks, right? That's like not a 46-year response. That's like at least the next day, 24 hours. Yeah, but a strong, solid treatment. My vow that I made to myself at 8 of no one will control me. No one will ever be put in a position to tell me or impact me in ways like, I had no idea that she was still there until my leadership coaching, and I was coming back from a training and we were just tapping in, and she was like, so what happens if the region doesn't do this and you want them to, what happened? And I'm giving all these responses. And she said, you're still basing your responses on people's, what they do and don't do. What is Dr. Sheffer? What is the impact to you? Not counting what someone else does or doesn't do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she was like, where does this need for control come from? Mm-hmm. And I was, I don't know where it come from. I just know I was born a leader, a boss. I used that from the age of 8. You know, I used to run my brothers. And then, I don't know, it just came over me like a flood. And I just screamed and just started crying. And it was the vow that I made to my 8-year-old self when my mom left to go to work as a nurse and my dad chose the street life over me and my 2 brothers,
yeah,
who are 6 and 4. And so at 8, I'm left taking care of my 6 and 4-year-old after begging my dad, we're scared, please don't leave us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so now, because he just loved the streets, and it's now that I understand his trauma, yep, that wasn't, yep, dealt, yep, with, right? At the time, I didn't, right, understand it, but, mm-hmm, now that I do, yep, I empathize even more of like, wow, now I'm doing the best I can at 8. Mm-hmm. Well, then I found that every relationship I was controlling. I was really controlling, especially with my 2 assistant principals, because I looked at them as my 2 brothers. Mm-hmm. And so now I am 8, you're 6, and you're 4. And that's exactly how I treated them. And that's how every decision was made off of, I'm 8, you're 6, you're 4, and I have to protect you. Mm-hmm. Well, in that, you're not growing.
Right.
You're not developing. Now I am laying my traumas on you because now you feel like this is how you have to respond because they literally mimic me, mm-hmm, the same way my brothers did. And so once I realized, like, oh my God. And so I told her, I said, I am so sorry. I was like, I want you to know how much you've done for us. We're 45. At the time we were 45, so we're 45. Mm-hmm. We have 2 amazing children. I was like, God has done some amazing things. The goals and things that we had set from 8, we're doing them. Mm-hmm. We live a really good life. Mm-hmm. And I told her, I said, and I got us now. Mm-hmm. You can rest.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I just poured out those, mm-hmm, tears. I went back to work and talked to my 6-year-old brother and 4-year-old brother, and I released them, mm-hmm, as children and started looking them as the grown men, yeah, that they, yeah, are. And ever since then, honey, I've been living the boundaries. I've been living the freedom. I have let, yeah, go of this idea that I have to be everything for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have let go of trying to control people. You are who you are. Mm-hmm. I tell y'all, she'd be like, no, tell me what to do. I'm not. You're wrong.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You would have loved who I was 5 years ago. I would have been running your whole life. Now, I'm not. I'm right. Like, no, mm-hmm, you got to live.
Right.
You got to run your race. Mm-hmm. I got to run mine. I'm praying for you. You know, I'm here for advice, but, mm-hmm, that's what I say now to like anyone. So I don't try to control anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel free.
Right.
I feel free. Mm-hmm. But that's how my trauma was showing up in every decision that I made. Mm-hmm. And it hurt other people because of my control. Because, mm-hmm, if you weren't in line, I cut you off quick. Mm-hmm. Like, what do you mean? Yours really isn't better than mine. Your reaction, your response, like, okay. Mm-hmm. Well, they don't want to follow my Lord, so I guess this is you closing the door. Like, girl,
don't put me in your mess.
Don't put me in your mess. But yeah, that was ways for, yeah, me. I just, the snappiness, the control. It was just, mm-hmm, the control. Mm-hmm.
I think listening to all of you ladies' answers, thinking back to the question, it reminds me of an experience that I had at my former church. Mm. And we were doing a book study on the power of offense. Mm. Because I think, when I think about answering that question, mm-hmm, for me, sometimes it is a matter of the big boisterous me,
yeah,
and the snappy, like, the, oh, hold on, wait a minute, you don't know me, like, yeah, you know, right, that, yeah, that cold switch where it's like, yeah, I don't have a whole lot of professionalism left now, watch out.
Yeah.
But then I also think about, like you said, those silent moments, those, yes, guarded moments, yeah, where, you know, even thinking about my childhood trauma, being raised by great grandmother, mom passing away at 7, no father figure in the picture, mm-hmm, that feeling of alone, that feeling of orphanage, that feeling of I've got to carry the world by myself, that feeling of
it's okay,
granny saying
take care of your siblings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it brings emotions because even in the midst of this season right now, that's this beautiful Thanksgiving season. Mm-hmm. This is the first Thanksgiving that my family has had to go without mama. Mm-hmm. And so this season in itself is trauma triggering.
Right.
But I just think about the challenge of, again, going back to that natural born leader, take care of your siblings,
yeah.
make sure they stay afloat. Don't let anybody sink. You got to keep them carried up with mm-hmm. you. Like just all of those mm-hmm. things that naturally you get challenged to take on. And when I begin to feel offended by the world, mm-hmm. That I don't have all of those team players with me. And so all of it is on me. I get the sappy.
Yeah.
I get the, hey, you know what? Long handle spoon.
Yeah.
I see you. I love you. But you know what? I don't like you.
Yeah.
And so you stay over there. I'm going to stay over here. And we're going to keep it cute. We copacetic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, those are those moments where that little alone Alicia starts to show herself.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like, just give me a God.
Just
give me my little corner, me and God, because I do feel like, to your sentiment, you know, speaking to letting the 8-year-old Stacy go, there are still some aspects of that little girl, Alicia, that's hard to let go.
Yeah.
Because that little girl, Alicia, still protects the big adult Alicia from some of the hurt and the pain that I feel like I still endure being loyal and trying to carry the people that I care about that sometimes are not willing to carry you the way that you carry them.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a tough place to still rock in sometimes.
Yeah.
Even at this big girl age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It can be
difficult.
Yeah.
I can't.
That's
beautiful. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I love that. And speaking of that, because we serve such a big, big God.
Yes.
It's okay to let her
come.
It's okay.
When you're ready and it's time, and he'll show you when it's ready and your time, he'll let her come.
Yeah. So she can rest.
Yeah.
And you can enjoy a big old 38.
Yeah.
But I think sometimes we discuss things as if, like, you can just shed it.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely
right?
not.
Like,
right. It takes time.
You also... Mm-hmm. I think there's time, but there's also, you have to learn a new way to cope with the same
thing. Exactly.
That's true, right?
Because
it was like, we talk about, like, let's shed it. And it's like, well, it just doesn't magically disappear because you're going to encounter difficult situations multiple times.
Yeah.
Like, we need replacement behaviors,
right?
Like, when I am triggered, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
How do I regain my focus if it is that you distance people? How do I make myself understand or empathize with where they're coming from, but also own my own feelings too, and figure out how to navigate in this situation?
Yeah.
And so I think, like, that's something that I feel a lot of times as Black women, or Black people, like, I'm free now.
Mm-hmm.
I read this scripture.
Mm-hmm.
I did this or whatever.
Right.
And, like, I am born new. And it's like, you feel new. But there is going to be another test.
That is true.
And there's there is work that has to be done before you encounter the next test.
That's true.
So that, one, you can recognize when you're falling into your own pattern.
Exactly.
And two, you can choose to do something
different.
Yeah. That is true.
Mm-hmm.
That is true.
And it's coping skills to help you work within and through it.
Yeah.
You can work just like grieving.
Yeah.
We're not probably, depends on who passes away.
Yeah.
You're probably never get over their passing, but you got coping skills to deal with it and live with it.
Right.
There was a book that I read this summer about healing. I wish I could quote the name of the author. However, I found her on Therapy for Black Girls podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And she talked about, like, hurt and healing and how, like, people always like to say, I'm healed.
Mm-hmm.
But really, you are always continuing.
You're healing.
Like,
you're not healed.
And that, like, stuff happens.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you learn to... It will hurt you.
Yes.
You learn to navigate the hurt instead of
getting
stuck in the hurt, right?
Yeah.
And so I think that's what I think about when I think about, like, what do you do differently? How do you change? It's like, like healing is the thing.
Yeah, it's not healed.
You're never
no.
finished no. as a human being. Yes. And like, you're going to continue to find things that hurt you. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
People, still more people that might pass away or whatever. Yeah. But it's like, how do you then move through your hurt versus staying stuck in your hurt?
Right. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Letting it go. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Letting go. But you're right, healing, and healing is ugly work, and it's not linear. So like and it is just like we're always growing. You're
exactly.
right about that. Mm-hmm. And you took us into our next question of like, what are your coping strategies? Like, what are some strategies that or boundaries that help you not only when it comes to like clarity, not only when it comes to your healing process, but also your peace.
Communicate. Say what you need.
Mm-hmm.
Ask for that support. Don't be afraid to ask for support or ask for just as Black women, we like, no, we can do it ourselves. We don't need you. We're going to do it by ourselves.
Superwoman.
Right. Yeah. Ask for the help and communicate and talk about things.
Yeah.
And no matter, like, people, you got to feel, have uncomfortable conversations to be comfortable or uncomfortable regardless.
Mm-hmm.
You just communicate and say what you want. Ask for it and be okay with asking for it.
Yeah.
Be okay with accepting even like feedback of different situations and implementing it into your daily lives, because it wouldn't be a word of feedback if it was, you know, it wouldn't be no word of feedback if you had taken it in a place, and you got to be in that place to receive it.
When you receive it and you are okay with the response that comes back, that's not the one you want.
Exactly.
Because we as Black women.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Who you talking to?
Right.
It's like that child just said that you know. And it's like, but it's the wrong woman.
Right.
From the root of your womb.
Exactly.
And you have to respect that that's how she feels right now.
But you can't.
Back to that spirit of offense.
Yep.
How are you not offended from the feedback?
Yep. Exactly.
Right? Because we have that savior complex as Black women.
Exactly.
We really do. Mm-hmm. It is bad what is placed on us and what we've allowed to be placed on us, right?
And them seasons the seasons where I truly embraced what I learned from the book on the power of offense were some of the most freeing seasons. That I have, because you really do, you stop literally taking offense to everything. And I'm like, you know what? You must just be having a bad day.
Right. Or you're going away.
And we don't know.
Start
to realize it's not me as much as you're internalizing it to be. But then also creating space for other people to be human.
Human, right.
It made me more understanding to the experiences that other people are walking through, and like really being cognizant and conscious that we are all dealing with something.
Exactly.
Life. Give people space to be human.
Exactly.
Without being bothered that they're human. Because guess what? You're human.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's it.
I think it's also being clear on what you're hearing is yours and what you're hearing is somebody else.
There we go.
I realize I'm an empath.
Yeah.
So, being a principal, being a principal, and even if I saw my assistant principal, my dean, my behavior specialist, seeing them get mistreated or hearing them get spoken to, I might not have gotten cursed out, but I felt the weight of every emotion that I felt like existed with the people I felt like I was working my
care. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I carried all that. So when I came home, it actually might have been a very regular day for me, but I felt everything that everyone, and so I have to be cognizant now, even as a leadership coach, when I listen to someone tell me their story, and I'm like, "Ooh, it was a heavy day." It's like, it wasn't heavy for you.
Active listening.
So I had to learn that, hey, that is a part of my personality. Yeah. Let's separate these things. Two, guess what? If I just go out in the sunshine, it actually rejuvenates.
Exactly.
I just need to step outside.
Self-care.
That's actually how I started walking more regularly.
Yes.
I just need to see the sunshine right now, because the sun needs to shine, and sunshine reminds me of God's promises.
Yes.
Looking down on me.
Yes.
And so just being able to see the sunshine can shift that. Right?
Yes.
Hey, guess what? I started meditating, started writing my journal more, have my daily morning Bible, like my Bible verses and things that I can carry throughout the day. But I had to hold the things that were, I had to be able to carry the things that were making me better and not carry other people's things that were giving me a weight that I did not need to bear.
Exactly.
Yeah. I had to learn that as a leader and being a leader of multiple things and consistently my day surrounded by people.
Mm-hmm.
For me, it was, you got to steal away.
Yeah.
Because this is not settled. This is like, I, everybody, at 3, 4 a.m., I'm up in prayer. Mm-hmm. I am warring for people. I am praying for people. And then when the wait came, it was like, Lord, is anybody praying for me?
Yes.
Because I am carrying so much. Mm-hmm. People can't be praying for me. Yeah. When I'm walking in looking down, they looking light. And I know I can't do more for them. It's like, you looking real free. And that's all I'm doing.
I should have kept that for my
I'm like, Lord, what, you know? And so I had to, I had to get intentional about boundaries.
Yeah.
I had to get intentional about, so that phone is on Do Not Disturb from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. And I am sorry. I don't care who you are. If I am okay now looking at the phone ring and choosing not to answer.
Yeah.
And people are like, oh, I saw you, you saw me text and did. And did. I didn't want to talk. And that's
okay.
I didn't want to talk.
It's okay.
I became intentional about my time with my kids. We're going to do movies and our popcorn, and we probably won't make it through the whole movie because you can't hang. But at the end of the day, that is my time with my babies, regardless of what we do in that time. Like, I had to really start stealing away to my moments of peace, love, and joy.
Yes.
And where I found it. I had breast cancer and was still going to work with my skin falling off. And Miss Lee changing my bandages of infection and mess just dripping out on my clothes.
Yeah.
So yes, I am taking my PTO. I was in Mexico. Okay? Yes, I was in, like, and not apologizing.
Yeah.
Because I felt like I had I was apologizing for, I'm not okay. I know I'm not okay.
Mm-hmm.
And in order for me to come back, you better let me get on that plane.
Exactly.
Right? And so I had to really get clear about who I am now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who, what it is that God is doing in me, and how do I protect my peace so I can still show up for the ones that God has assigned to me, the ones who are in my life in this season. Which means I can't see my girls now. I got a sleepover plan for my girls I haven't seen because now I'm not traveling. I'm like, yes, I want time with my peoples, right, throughout December, because that's my way of recharging.
Right.
But black women, y'all better be, it don't care who you are, you ain't got to be black woman. You better be taking down these strategies that we are sitting here giving you, because you're looking at intelligent, like, high-functioning black women who are leaders and who are really taking on a lot. And we're telling you how to handle some of the stress and triggers that you may be having. So I hope you're taking notes.
If anybody know me, I'm going to take a nap.
You got to take a nap.
I will take a nap on vacation. My naps are built into the schedule.
That is always bad. Yes. I love that for you. Yes.
I will take a nap. I mean, it's funny, but that's one of my things.
Right? Yes.
I need to have my nap time. And sometimes I don't need to sleep. I just
lay down. Exactly.
Think about my day.
Mm-hmm.
Like, have moments of gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
But taking a nap, communication is so
big. It goes so big.
That I really, I feel like so many things can get misconstrued and they just really don't know where you come from. The understanding gets lost, and it's because it was miscommunicated.
Yes.
And so that's another thing that's really big for me is communication of how.
Inconsistency.
That's part of my self care.
Yes.
Let me repeat. Is this what you're really saying to me?
Like, yes.
Do I really understand what's going on?
Yes.
But naps, journaling.
Journaling.
I love a good journal.
Mm-hmm.
Sunshine, being outside.
Yes.
It is magical. I actually had my, I'm blessed to have the women that I work with, my boss and her twin sister. I make them come outside. If I work a longer day, I make them come outside around 11:30. Sit in the sun.
Nice.
We don't have to talk, we'll just sit in the sun.
Yep.
And I'm like, y'all got to get out of your office. Like, I help them, like, break up their day because
my boss is like over a lot of stuff, and I'm like, hey, you need to come out to
the get some of this sunshine.
And then one of my other ways is I like watching foreign films.
Languages.
And okay. I love K-dramas, but and people are like, well, why do you watch it? Because I have to fully focus on what they're saying.
Yes.
Subtitles.
Yes.
So nothing else is distracting.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like I'm fully focused and I can like get into the movie and I'm like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah.
But yeah, just find ways to have moments of quietness too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah.
Like that's so important.
It was very important.
That part. Yeah.
Very important. I will say this. So I did a meditation with my sister this summer. My sister's a therapist. We both graduated from Spelman. Mm-hmm. And on the Peloton app, there was a Spelman woman who was in meditation. However, while I was trying to do Spelman meditation, my toddler was going, Mom, Mom! It was happening. Yeah. Right? But I still chant these words. And it was, let it go. Let it be.
Let it go. I'll breathe out. Let it be.
And sometimes, even in between meetings, virtually, in between Zoom meetings, I'll be like, I have to sit there, cross my legs.
Let it go. Let it be.
It's on me.
Exactly.
Let it go of it, right? And so, like, that is my favorite motto.
People ask me, they come up, what are you doing for Thanksgiving? I said, well, hopefully, I won't have my kids. So they were like, what? You want to be with your kids for Thanksgiving? When you are with them every day,
I'm dropping my child off at daycare on Monday morning, and he is going to school, and I am going back to sleep.
Parents said they want them babies. Sure, who am I? This is not that relationship.
Look, I will have months for Thanksgiving, but it does leave me. I was going to piggyback on one that I haven't heard anyone make mention of, and that is accessing our villages.
Yes, I think
that sometimes we don't do that enough. Like when I think about how I'm able to find moments of peace, how I'm able to find moments of solitude, how I'm able to carve out those pockets of self-care and go get my nails done or, you know, get a good hair wash that I didn't have to do.
Right.
A lot of times it's because, like you said, the communication aspect, right? Like asking for that help. Hey, I need somebody.
Yeah.
On Wednesday.
Yes.
At 5 o'clock.
Right.
To come get these chips.
Yeah.
I think also for me, prioritizing life.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And what I mean when I say that is that I am guilty of getting lost in the sauce of leadership and putting work above those things that it never should have been.
Yes. Yeah.
And when I reflect on that season of life for me, that is where a lot of health issues, thank God, that I do not now suffer with, but you know, when the doctor started talking about high blood pressure, you know, you won't speak that over me.
Right.
We're going to get rid of this work stress.
Right.
Because my God didn't say that was for me.
That's right.
And so when I started to reprioritize things and remember where work should be, even in lieu of leadership, making sure that God was back at the forefront and I wasn't skipping over those quiet times in the moment because I got to hurry up and get ready for work. I got to get the kids dressed and all of these responsibilities that you just didn't make what should have been first.
Right.
When I started making sure that I was taking time to honor, respect, and reverence, hey, guess what, girl? God done bless you with a spouse. You have a husband.
Yeah.
Make sure that you acknowledge who that man is and taking time to like really spend with him. Hey, babe, how was your day today? Like, serving him and making sure that that connection remained alive. And then making time to invest in love and spend time, like you said, with our kids. Because sometimes we get so busy in the adulting of life that we forget that these little bodies in the background watching us. And again, you're leading in all the things except sometimes being present even when you're present.
So
taking time to really put things back in order. And when that shift started to happen, the freedom. Oh, my goodness, y'all. I'm going to say, again, everything got put where it needed to be. And it opened up the window for that freshness of light, that fresh wind of peace, that reminder of everything's all right.
It's okay.
But everything's all right. You're saying about spending that time with God and stuff, like, I
not a morning person. Mm-hmm. But this past year I had 2 8 o'clock classes. I know y'all like, just 2 8 o'clock. Yes, 2 8 o'clock. But even if it meant I had to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, so I can make sure that I can have my wake up time.
That's yes, you have to. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Then I can go into my prayer
time. Yes, exactly. Yes. Exactly.
I'm gonna say for me, I never understood it, but having the best of both worlds, and when I say having the best of both worlds, being able to hear and being deaf. And so I now enjoy my quiet time, like after long days of being able to hear all day, I just go home sometimes and I just take my ears out. What? And I don't hear anything. Yeah. It's silent. Time, and like even sometime on the weekends I wake up, I won't even put them in. Like I'll even watch TV, turn on my caption, I still be laughing, having a good time watching TV. Ain't there nothing, but I can read what's on the TV. And so like I've learned like just enjoy quietness. Like I used to think, why can't I hear, or why is this so hard for me to hear, or you know, being able to have conversations. But now I enjoy it. I just enjoy not having to talk, like not having them be able to hear anything. And that's the best of both worlds. Just quiet time.
Best of both worlds. Yes.
Because I think that speaks to what we sometimes label as trauma. Mm-hmm. And we forget to find the beauty of the blessing.
Yes.
And even things that God has gifted us. Yes. But because the world says that something is wrong with it, now I'm traumatized.
Now I'm traumatized.
That's it.
I think it also makes me think of like hearing you like another part of my identity, just like part of yours has to do with hearing, part of yours has to do with having a husband, part of mine is being a single mom.
Right.
And that's like a part of my identity. Now I have embraced it to the point where I say I have a beautiful village, and so therefore I'm a mom of three, not necessarily just a single mother. But when I am triggered, I go to like, oh, I got this. I can do this by myself. And I don't need anybody's help, because guess what? I've been raising these three kids by myself. And I don't need anybody's help. I won't say it. Mm-hmm. It's all internal and how I start to withdraw.
And how
I start to not answer. And how, like, all of a sudden, like, you're not going to hear from me. Whether it's leadership, personal, or whatever, because as a single mom, I then am like, well, I'm already superwoman. I've been doing this by myself anyway. Why do I need you? Because you're an issue. Too much to say, and you're causing me issues. I'm just gonna do all this on my own, which is a trauma response.
It really
only
is.
Makes me more stressed.
Yes.
And so, like, it made me think, when you're like, lean on your village. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's important in life and at work. Yes. Like, even though you're the leader, there is a leadership. There is a whole organization that is hired to support the work that you do.
Right.
And I think sometimes as Black women, I can speak for myself from the single mom part, when I get triggered, it's like, oh no, you don't want to do your job? You ain't got to.
Yeah.
Because I can do it anyway. Yeah. And better than you. Yeah. You know what? Yeah. You don't want to do this? Yeah. Right. That's okay. Yeah. I got it too.
Yeah.
Then next thing I know, I'm back at the doctor and they say,
name it now. Before I didn't name it, it was passive aggressiveness. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I was irritated, not saying it, showing it, right? Now I am not okay.
Right.
Not really the name spot today, guys. We're still broke. We're still trying to figure this out. We still ain't got no staff here. And we're still about to be a whole struggling department. But we're here. And I know I appreciate all that you do, right? So, like, now I'm able to name it, but before it was a mess. Yes. I couldn't name, like, I'm not good, right?
Mm-hmm. But I think that's part of our challenges sometimes as leaders, too. We want to fix it all. We want to make everything right for everybody. And I think sometimes, even for that, there's a season. There's sometimes where we have to be patient through the grit and the valley in order to get back to that peaking point. And I think that those are such powerful experiences that help us to better handle once we get back to that mountaintop, to take care and appreciate what we didn't have because we remember what it felt like. I'm so excited for this extra that we have coming. But again, I keep in mind just how much work we've had to do thus far this year, that brings so much appreciation for this upcoming season that I imagine had we not had to fight as hard as we have
and trust and transparency,
I wouldn't appreciate it the way that I am
today, right? If we ain't go through the trenches.
So I want to know, like, just thinking about, you know, we've all talked about, like, our village, so to speak, but, like, who or what has been most instrumental in your healing? Therapy, could be faith, your sisterhood, mentorship, rest. Who or what has been, like, most instrumental for you guys?
Not for one.
Yes.
But I will say, like, a lot of people, when they think of trauma, they always think of something from your childhood or an experience from your childhood. Mine actually started when my dad passed away. Because he was the person I would complain to. Like, if you ever know me, I really don't complain about a lot. Yeah. And
Watch out, I'm done.
But he was the person that could, like, worry everything on. But, like, you know, as I was 25, about to turn 26 when he passed away, but then it became more of, I had to really dig into my relationship with God. He was the one that I need to lean on. But it came back up a few years later when I was doing my master's in Spain. I just felt like it was like the anxiety was there. I never had anxiety before. Didn't know what to do. And that was the first time I did therapy with a speech therapist. In Europe, and they, like, look at things differently than we do. But it was something I had to process as an adult. With losing a parent. That led to a road of me being a stand-in parent for a few students that lost parents. And just, you know, I had to go through that. Had to go through that therapy. I had to, you know, figure out how to connect to a village. And that's one of the things that I learned from that point in therapy was I had to have community.
Yes.
And I've been saying that since I was in my 20s. Community is so important.
It is.
Like, you know, you find the people that are, you know, God ordained for you in your life. And if the people are in your life and you see that they don't fit where they're supposed to fit, then, then you can let them know. You don't have to keep them just because you've been friends for 50 years.
That's
right.
And so just understanding your community and, you know, what comes along with that, you know, and how you hold each other up. But God being the center.
I love that. Mine has been, losing a parent. Like, you covered that. I do have, like, a lot of childhood trauma. But for me, it has been the way my mother has allowed me to heal, to go through my healing journey. Being okay with things that I shared and being comfortable to own things and give me insight that I didn't have before, which then helps me see things in a much different way. And together, it's like, okay, this, because my consistent prayer is my children will not wear, like, those generational curses, those strongholds, they stop with me.
Yeah.
They stop with, you know, their dad. Like, they stop there. And so that means that I am going to have to do more work just to make sure, which means confronting the past. And so my mother allowing me to do the healing work, allowing me to have difficult conversations with her. My mother has traveled with me all over the world, all my speaking engagements, been in the room when I've shared certain things, wrote the book, right? And has been okay with, yes, and you go further than me, and you do better than me. And in the healing, not necessarily the career and money, material things, in the healing and being and walking in the woman that God intended you to be.
Right.
Because that has been my consistent prayer too. Who was I? What were your intentions when you sent me here, Lord? What I want the original plan, not the one that got mixed up with the world and the sin and all the other foolish stuff that happened, that I allowed to happen, things that I did. Like, what was the original plan? Because that's what I want. Yeah. That's what I'm working towards, and being okay with the surrender and the release. But for me, it really has been like my mom has just been so instrumental to me in allowing me to heal and confront things and not feel like, well, you know, some people get offensive when you're like, you know, you hurt me when you did X, Y, and Z. Well, I ain't had no book. I ain't know what to do. I was doing the best I could. Shoot, what you expect? No, it's been like, okay. And she owns it. I apologize.
Yeah.
And here was my eyes and my lens at the time. And then now I have a chance to hear her story. Like, oh, and now it's already like, okay, I knew I never wanted to be a nurse because my mother always worked many different hours. I know I don't want children, but if I have them, I got to be off on the weekends and at home at night. Your nursing career clearly can't do it. But hearing her story then allowed me to see from her lens, and it now positions me even better in my healing to be better for Eva.
Yeah.
Be better for Gio. Yeah. Right? Be better for all the other children that God has placed in my care. Because I always say, what you do to the least of these, that Bible verse sticks with me so strong. Of what we do to the least of these. And I know he isn't just talking about children. It's not like, you know, but what, I don't know, that sticks to me. And it's like, Lord, I don't want to cause pain to the ones who can't defend themselves right now. And then they grow up back to that trauma. I hope y'all accepted my apology, my baby's from 19 years ago. But yeah, for me, it's been mommy. Yeah.
I agree with you about there's like childhood trauma, and then there's trauma that you experience as an adult.
Yes.
And maybe it's more traumatic because it's trauma piled on top of trauma. And so, like, after having my last child, you know, I was like, okay, I've been a single mama two, now I'm a single mama three. And I have teenagers and I have a two-year-old. Like, this is not how I envision a life. But I was so tired between work and kids and everything. And I remember going to the doctor and I was just like, listen, can you like give me Ozempic or something? Like, I am struggling. And she was like, but you're not, like, you're perfectly fine health wise. I was like, so I'm like healthy and fat? Like, that's not even a thing. And she was like, honestly, your cortisone levels are too high for you to lose weight. She was like, do you drink water? This much water? I was like, yeah. She was like, do you eat vegetables? I was like, yeah. She was like, so if you could just sleep 7 to 8 hours a night, you would drastically see a change in yourself, right? And I go, well, my toddler is right here with me because he's sick, and I'm administering medicine every 4 hours. I've not slept 3 hours straight. I'm like, 7 hours. And I'm like looking at this woman like, are you crazy? I'm gonna sleep through the night. Let's start small. Okay, I'm gonna start sleeping. And then once I started sleeping, I was like, you know what? I'm just gonna walk. I can take 10 minutes every day for myself. So I just walk for 10 minutes. It could be in between a meeting, it could be whatever. Then next I was like, I should be able to take 30 minutes for myself. Mm-hmm. And I was walking like 30 minutes several times a day. And it went from half a mile to 1 mile to 2 miles to now I'm up to 5 miles and I've lost 50 pounds.
Yeah.
Right?
Nice. Come on.
And it has taught me, and I think this is what, anytime I go through something recently, I can do hard things.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes,
and and like, progress does not come overnight. It's been 5 months, right?
Right.
But it's like, progress doesn't come overnight, and I can do hard things. And I would pray, literally pray everyone, like, Lord, please give me the discipline to get back up tomorrow, because I'm sore, and I really don't want to do this. But like, but then like, being in the sunshine, walking, clearing my mind. Like, now, when I get upset, I go for a walk in the sun. Like, that is the first thing I go do. And I pray and walk and like, meditate and everything, and like, doing it all at the same time. But exercising and like refinding the ability to be okay with saying, you know what, children, you will watch your brother for these 30 minutes, and I'm going outside,
right.
And I'm going to get in my head, and I'm responsible.
I'll see that.
Yeah. Or like, I'd be like, what do you guys want for dinner? And it was like, Chick-fil-A. Yeah. Well, that's not going to help me on the shelter. So what we're having for dinner is, this is what we're doing.
Yeah.
And I think just repositioning.
Yes.
Like honoring myself.
Because
as a mom and as a leader, you don't honor yourself.
Yes.
You feel like your job is to honor everybody else's wishes and wants and making sure everyone else is okay. And so I think one of the biggest things I would say is exercise, but like really the umbrella is choosing to honor myself and see okay with putting myself first in certain situations.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Like knowing that I'm worthy.
Yes.
I am worthy.
I think for me, honestly, it was me and God.
Mm-hmm.
It was getting to a point of saying, people pleasing, I've had enough.
Yeah.
Enough is enough.
Yeah.
I think it was that little Alicia orphan again, kind of wanted to make sure that all of the people in my life knew that I was appreciative that they were in my life because so many had walked away that were supposed to be there.
Mm-hmm.
And I think when I got to a point where I could no longer look myself in the mirror and recognize the woman that I was looking at because I had turned into someone that was trying to please all of the people that I believed God had gifted to be in my life.
Right.
When I started to allow God to remove and transform that layer of me, He started to empower and unveil the woman that He's designed and called me to be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the midst of quiet time with Him, because I think the interesting thing about my trauma and my life story is that I've had so many people to hear my story and give you that, oh my goodness, at 38, my God. You should do some healing.
Yeah.
But then there's these parameters put on how long
girl.
And what that healing should look like. You mean to tell me you're not over that yet?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I had to give myself permission to feel as long as I need to feel as long as it takes,
that's right.
And to take space.
Yes.
For as long as I need to take space.
That's right.
Exactly.
And it is really starting to put me into a respectful place of being unapologetic.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And like you said, honoring that self-worth of, no, I'm proud of who God has designed me to be.
Yes.
And I'm trusting that for the woman He is continuing to transform me into being. For those that are assigned to me and I to them, they'll be here.
They'll be here
one way or the other.
That's right.
For me, it's really just been quiet, disconnected, a long time to hear God.
I love that. That makes there was so much that came up for me as you were talking. As you all were talking, I was just like, wow, that is so true. Because what I'm struggling with is all of the shine and the recognition and the honoring that is happening.
Yeah.
And it's like, my apostle was like, you should be glad about the God who
rewards openly in public all that was done in private.
Yeah.
Because what is happening in my life and the things that I'm experiencing and the different platforms and doors that he's opening for me is because of what happened in the secret.
Mm-hmm.
It is the prayer time. It is the fasting. It is allowing God to do the very necessary yet ugly work in me and being okay with the work that was being done in me.
Yeah.
And so I do, I should be, I'm working on accepting the, girl, you did that.
Because
I told God, no matter what, you always get the glory for my story. And people are like, yes, and you should also celebrate that you did the work. You were obedient in doing the work.
Mm-hmm.
But I struggle because I would tell people, when you've been humbled by God, like, I used to be a little arrogant thing. I know it's hard to believe. I know it's so hard to believe that about me. And so when you lose it all twice, you really quickly realize you ain't in charge of nothing, right? And so that, I've been humbled so much that I'm like, they're like, girl, great job, congratulations. Like, you don't see nothing up on the walls in my house. You don't see nothing, because I don't, I just like, okay, now what's next, Lord? Now what's next? So I'm trying to be okay with the taking up space.
Yeah.
And being okay with, girl, you did that.
Mm-hmm.
And you sacrificed a lot for that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And everybody don't want to sacrifice nothing. Mm-hmm.
You have because to sacrifice. Because I think
you have to.
There's a difference between celebrating yourself and walking in a journey of pride.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the difference
of this season
that you're in right now.
Yeah.
I think that your experience of humility
mm-hmm.
allows you to be able to rest.
Yeah.
Should allow you
to
be able to rest in celebrating yourself.
Yeah.
And being able to do that, like you said, with humility.
Yeah. Right.
And I think that's the difference between Stacey Shepherd then and Stacey Shepherd.
I want to get okay with that because even in Miami and I was receiving an award and she was just naming out like all the things that I've done. And we had a moment where Gio and I locked eyes across the room.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he leaned over and he looked at me and smiled. He said, she hadn't even said my name. And he was like, that's you. She's talking about you. He's like, And once she said my name and I went up and I accepted the award and everything, and G was, you know, clapping. And then later on, he hugged me. He said, I knew it was you, mommy.
Yeah.
He said, I knew it was you before she even said your name because you worked so hard.
Yeah.
He said, and I'm so proud of you. And I was like, wow, right? And so, yeah, I think that's what it is, trying to be okay with.
Mm-hmm.
You have to release yourself from the fear of losing it again. That's what I feel in this moment.
Yeah, and I do think that's what it is, because I watched my dad work so hard and to have it all. And then I watch him lose it.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so my mentality is the, you got to keep going. I don't want to lose it. And I'm also in a season of, I don't want to disappoint God. Like, that is literally like the core of my life and my being, to the very core of me. I can't disappoint God. I don't want to disappoint God. And so it's like, anything that could probably be taken as a moment of you celebrate a little too long. Or you did this, like, you know, I don't do it, because I am, all that I am is because of him.
But God already deemed you worthy because he blessed you with those things.
Yeah.
You have to then know that you are worthy because he does.
Yeah.
He sees it.
Yeah.
And so, like, you have to, I think, also see yourself as worthy of the praise.
Yeah.
And give yourself a little grace with things, because.
And just because you make mistakes.
We're always going to make mistakes.
And I preach that all the time.
We're always going to make mistakes.
But it is a thing of just like, I know, because I have disappointed so much. Blatant disappointment. Mm. Blatant sin. Like praying while I'm having, like, come on now. Like, blatant stuff, right? That it does. You know, that it's now, it's just like, I can't. I can't disappoint.
But you also know what things you did that caused some of the loss.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah, like you're sure. Clear on that.
Yeah.
And so. Also, like, life comes in seasons. Some seasons you win, and some seasons you lose. Yeah. I don't know if you can always attribute it to any specific action because life comes in cycles.
It does.
Happiness and sadness. Yeah. I think if you link everything to, like, I must, you know what? It was that time I went ahead and cursed that lady out. She deserved it. She deserved it. That's what happened. Like, you can't assign everything to
And you're action. Right. Because. Yes. Because of what we're taught, right, about karma.
Yep.
Yes.
Which does not come from God, because if you're saying that, that's actually part of Buddha. I keep saying Buddhism. I know it's wrong. Buddhism. Buddhism. I got it, Jones.
Also, growing up in the church, my mom would be like, if something that happened, she'd be like, what's it? What'd you do?
Right.
Yeah. I'm like, honestly, nothing. I'm just going to school. Like, what? And then I'm searching myself. I'm like, what did I do?
Yeah.
But like now as an adult, like my sister, she's a therapist. She's a child therapist. It's helped me a lot. She's like, guess what? Like sometimes life just lies.
It does.
Like if you spend all the time trying to figure out what wrong action did I do
to get this right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Drive yourself crazy. Yeah. It's not even what happened then. It's the reason it happened.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
The reason
Yeah.
And that reason could be bless someone later
on in life,
because I'm laughing about us anyway.
Or guess what? You just had a flat tire.
Yeah.
Flat tires
happen.
It might not happen to both of
us.
That flat tire didn't mean that you disappointed God.
Yeah. Exactly.
That thing right there.
That flat tire prevented you from that 18 wheeler.
Exactly. You know, I had a nail. I went to the gas station the other day, and usually I'll flip us. I heard this click, 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 and I was like, "Oh my God, let me go back to the gas station." Mm-hmm. And I had a nail in my tire. I didn't trip.
Yeah.
Usually I would have.
Yeah.
I didn't trip. I said, "You know what?" I went up the street, my kit, back by kit, went to that little spot on the corner.
Yeah.
Had to fix my tire, $25 to plug it, because I wasn't giving $160 at that time. And I was like, you know what? It was meant for me not to go home at that time.
Yeah.
It could have prevented, God could have prevented me from anything within that 15, 20 minutes later of getting home.
Yeah.
But like a few years back, I would have tripped like, oh my God, I got a flat tire. But I just like fixed it, gave him the money, got my car, and went home.
Yeah.
And it was fine.
Yeah.
I didn't trip. And I was okay. I was like, God prevented me from going through something. Could have been a wreck.
Yeah.
It could have been anything.
Yeah.
But that's how I reflect on things. I try not to flip out no more of little things I have no control over. Because that nail was not in there by the time I got from Kip to QT. That nail got in there for when I did something else in QT to come back. But you gotta, like, you don't know. Just like, just prevents you from things. Just don't, just be like, okay, it happened. And move on.
Like I always say, you either going in the storm, coming out of the storm. One or the other.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Because if he bring you to it, he's gonna bring you through it.
Coming out and about to go in, or actually like the same place.
So I think too that also puts me in that place of like, you don't know, which should trigger me to be like, you probably need to celebrate. What's about to come next? You don't know what that is.
Exactly.
We're here now, right? Mm-hmm. And I do, I'd say, God, you have permission to interrupt my day because I want to be used by you.
Exactly.
And I'll never forget when the first time I prayed that, I got to work running late and two parents stopped me. And I was like, is everybody? I gave them permission to interrupt my day. He also goes, oh, okay, you want more patience? Sure. I got to throw all the things at you. I quit praying that prayer. Well, whatever patience I have, I'm good with it. You know, learning my past and following, learn to let patience have its perfect work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because it does begin to create something new in you when you are allowing patience to have this because we're rushing everything. I need it now. Yeah. Now. Mm-hmm. But baby, if I bring it now in your condition, you're the nasty attitude of yourself.
Exactly.
You're gonna mess it up. Mm-hmm. Then we're gonna be revisiting this journey if he bring it back. Because sometimes people really don't understand, like, oh, with a blessing cup. No, there are some blessings that are attached to a window.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. And if you won't move and be obedient in that you window, that you can hang that up and it's not coming back.
Yeah.
Now, Lord. We'll talk later. Okay. Make sure you miss the window. All right, guys. I have two more questions for us. Okay. This has been good. This has been good, right, y'all? This has been good. I've been seeing the hearts and stuff go up here. All right. So what does a healed or a healing Black woman leader look like to you? What do you see when you see a Black woman who is in leadership who is either healing or is
a Black woman, a healed Black woman leader looks like to me someone who was learning to choose herself without guilt. A healed or healing Black woman leader is a powerful, not because she carries everything alone, but because she finally understands that she doesn't have to. She is walking in wholeness even while she is still being restored.
Bars. That's
good. Hey, she's
on that.
Which is beautiful because as I listen to us talk, you can see that here.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I think one of the biggest things that came to mind for me, or one of the most immediate thoughts that came to mind for me, as women, we're known for being emotional creatures.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. We nurture a lot. We care for a lot. We take on a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think one of the things that came to mind for me when I questioned, like, what is a healthy leader look and feel like to me?
Mm-hmm.
Someone who is able to self-manage and self-regulate.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because I think at the end of the day, I know at the end of the day, we all have feelings. We all have emotions. We're all human.
Right.
Right. And so there's going to be things that will hurt us all. There's going to be things that will put us all in moments and places of joy. But I think the most important thing is, how do you balance that?
Yeah.
And to me, it's that ability of being able to self-identify, but then also self-regulate.
Yes.
Yeah. If I'm having a moment where that trigger, that trauma is triggered, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, am I able to identify it and regulate self so that, again, it doesn't spill on someone else?
Exactly.
So I think for me, to self-identify and self-regulate.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I think for me, you see it when they're able to step back and celebrate the others. Like, it might have been a team effort, and their name is the one when they put it on the paper.
Yeah.
But they are celebrating the people that put the work in with them in front of everybody, not just behind closed doors.
Exactly.
Celebrating them. Grace. Being able to give grace to others.
Yeah.
Showing gratitude again.
Yeah.
I think another way you can see a healed leader is, I think you said it when you said they ask for help. And it's not just all on their shoulders. They know how to ask for help, delegate it in a way that it can be positive for everyone. So I really like the other thing about a healed leader, especially in education, is when they see it where you are. Like, they're the leader. They control everything, but they take the, I remember when I was
a student in the classroom,
and they can, like, take a step back and say, okay, let me look at it from their lens and not just from my lens.
Now this is the last one. Everyone has to answer this one. Okay. If you can give one message to Black women in education struggling silently, what would it be? One message.
You don't have to carry everything by yourself. Personally, the last few months, I tried to carry everything by myself, and eventually you're going to get to that point. And so I have become grateful for the women and the individuals that God has placed in my life, I've also realized that living in unhealed trauma can also destroy those relationships that God has brought into your life. So, you know, I had to take a good few weeks to myself, by myself, to get myself back together and get myself back in order. And so now moving forward, I now know that despite everything that's going on in the world, despite everything that's going on in life and even within work and stuff, I don't have to do it alone. I don't have to carry this burden alone. I don't have to carry the job alone. I don't have to carry anything alone, and that I do have amazing people surrounded. I am surrounded by amazing people that I can lean on to better help me carry some of the things that are going on within myself.
I just feel like tag someone in to support you, not just at work, but at home with your family. And just like she said, you don't have to do anything alone.
Yeah.
You just so much support out here for you, and just tag someone in.
Yeah.
That's it. So that's how I feel. And just reflect on things. Reflect, give yourself grace. Step back if you need that moment. Say, I need that moment. Don't be afraid that you're going to disappoint somebody. We're like, listen, I need that moment.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm not going to talk about it right now. I'm not saying I'm going to deal with that right now. Yeah. But right now, I need to get me right before I can respond to you. Right. Because if I'm not right or I'm not okay, how am I going to help you or support you in anything? So just tag someone in.
Yeah. Okay. I think for me, progress over perfection. I think that regardless of what position, what role, life has you in, God has you in, we must all be reminded that life is not about us showing up as perfect creatures, right? We are imperfectly exactly who we need to be. And so I think enjoying the journey of progress without reaching and striving for perfection.
I love that.
I think it's two things. Figure out what you really want and figure out who you are. Because sometimes we're working really hard and we're spinning in circles only to realize, like, what was the goal? Like, where was I trying to go? What was I trying to go? Trying to do? So I would say, figure out what it is you want. Because guess what? The reality of life is there are some seasons where you are going to have to grind really, really hard. And it be you by yourself by your, in that season. It doesn't mean that that's how your entire existence is. But you have to know what you're shooting for, what you're going for, to be able to weather that season and continue on. And then figure out who you are. What makes you happy? What makes you smile? What does trigger you? What, like, because if you don't know those things about yourself, then you're just going through life happily, and there's emotions that jump out here, jump out there. You don't know why. You don't, and you know. And so those would be the two things.
I think something said about being perfect. Not, you know, worrying about don't be perfect, but what it made me think of was don't be afraid to speak up. Don't be afraid to take up space. Don't be afraid to pick your idea. You might not have had a school district, or it might not have come by, you would have stepped up. So it's okay to take up space. It's okay to, again, find out who you are. But the other thing I would say is make sure that you have people that can pour in your cup just as much as you pour out.
That's good.
You gotta have that cup feel.
Mine is therapy is okay. We have been conditioned in our Black and brown communities, you know, when our your business and stuff. And so I love the generations that are coming up now who are very bold in who they are and who are very vocal about, no, this was wrong, this happened to me, and I'm about to tell everybody, somebody go listen, whereas before we grew up in a space and time where we protected the offender. And not thinking about who's protecting us, right? And so for me, it would be, therapy is okay.
I am a Christian. I am a woman of God. I am a pastor. I am a leader. I was too busy. I got a lot going on. And therapy was like that thing for me that got things moving in a positive direction. And then be open. Your therapist may not come how you expect. Mm-hmm. I requested a black woman.
What you did?
In her 40s, like 40s, 50s, she need to have lived. She need to have understood this. Boy, that list was so long. God sent me a white, middle-aged Christian man. Mm-hmm. And he began to help me see and unpack some things with my daughter's father. Yeah. And that is where the healing journey began for me. And I'm just telling that man going off, and he spoke my language of tying it back to the Bible.
Yeah.
Scriptures that supported it. So now I can go home and meditate and pray and give it to God. So yes, we give it to God. Yes, we pray to God. Yes, we trust God. And therapy is okay. Mm-hmm. He also created therapists and psychiatrists and psychologists and social workers, right? And so it is okay to talk to someone, a paid professional. Mm-hmm.
It's okay, I'm a social worker.
See, Miss Leo, it's okay.
Yeah.
Yes, it's okay. It is.
There's nothing wrong with you.
Yeah, because it was always what happens in this house stays in this house.
Yeah.
You don't tell our business, but it's like, who do we tell? Like, and that's when,
I guess,
because that's why I never knew what trauma was. And it's really sad that I found out when I got in my, but I figured it out and now I know, and that's how I could help other students and families and things like that, because I could like, okay, I've been there.
Yeah.
I've been there, and I can support you because I didn't have that support because I didn't know what it was. Yeah. But therapy is okay. And it's okay with telling your story, being okay with it.
Everything was, even when God called me to write the book, I said, oh, yeah. I'm private. And there's a lot that, like, I don't, you want me to do this? We're going to have to get real creative.
Right.
I'm not name dropping, but I'm not,
right.
And he did. Gave it to me in a very creative way, so those who are close and know, they know, and those who don't, just use your imagination and learn from the beautiful stories being shared. So I thank you, ladies, so much for taking time to share space with me tonight. This is just the beginning of a conversation, and I thank you guys for tuning in with us tonight. You know, it is difficult to talk about trauma. It is difficult to talk about the impact of trauma in our lives, especially when you reach a certain age or a certain level, right? But I hope that you guys were able to take something from this conversation. Do know this is not the last conversation. Next Friday at 5:30 p.m., we are going to wrap up our series on trauma, okay? We're going to wrap it up, but I can't wait for you to hear what's in store for December, all right? So, it is your girl, Dr. Shepherd, and this has been Another Note from the Principal. Stay tuned. Next Friday, 5:30 p.m. And since my cameraman refuses to hit the end, I'm going to get up and do it myself.